We as Christians have hope. Hope in our trials. And our hope isn't in this world. Our hope is in the Lord. Last week we studied of that living hope we have in Jesus. The Christian has hope. We studied of the fact we have an inheritance which is incorruptible, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved for us in heaven. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you will be also. We could be there tomorrow. Life is short. We never know. But we have the hope we'll be in the right place. Isn't that good? We don't have to worry about where we're going to go when we die. We know. We're just going to move. Sometimes I think we think we're going to live here forever. That's what you think when you're a teenager. Hey, you're going to live forever. Never going to get old. And guess what? You get old. One day we'll be home. In this, verse 6, in this, in what? Because of the fact we have this inheritance, we have this hope that does not fade away. In this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. The word grieved can be distressed. In this, because of this real hope we have in Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus is the only one that'll never let you down. He's perfect. He's a friend forever. In this, because we have Jesus, we have eternity, this inheritance, this home we're waiting for, we greatly rejoice. Now, rejoice in what we have as a Christian, not rejoice in what's going on in our life, because a lot of times what's going on in our life is not good. We go through problems. But a Christian can truly rejoice. We have hope in Jesus. We have an inheritance in Jesus. We have a reservation in heaven. We have forgiveness of sin. We have eternal life. We're going to rule in the millennium with him. We're his people. We greatly rejoice because Jesus is our Lord and Savior. And we're part of the family of God. And we read in verse 5 where he keeps us there. We greatly rejoice. It's from the word joy. We look unto God and all we have, we know we're rich in Christ. Rejoice in what you have. I need to rejoice in what I have. We can't let our heart be set on the material, on the temporal, on the things of this world. Then we won't always rejoice. You know, we have to be honest. It's terrible in this world right now. It's good. There's good for the Christian. We're protected. There are good things. There are blessings that God gives us. But the world that's led by man, is in a terrible place. And that's predicted in prophecy. It will get worse and worse. This world will be destroyed. We'll see a new heaven and a new earth. We went over that in the book of Revelation. So why do we want to keep our mind on things that are temporary? Things can change in a day. You can get some news or run into a problem, get sickness. All kinds of things can happen. If our heart is and mind are on this world, you're going to be a miserable person. You know, Paul said, if we have hope only in this world, we are of all people most miserable. Our hope is not here, but our hope is in the Lord. We can rejoice. Let's turn back to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 1 and 2. If then, and it means since, if then, since you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, We as Christians are to set our mind and heart on things above. We've been saved. We have a new homeland. We are here for the Lord's purposes, but we must set our mind on that and not get caught up with this world. We can get so bogged down with this world and our plans in the world. Then you're not going to rejoice. I'm not going to rejoice. See, joy is different than happiness. Most of the people in the world seek happiness. You know, happiness, I learned this a long time ago, cannot be found by direct pursuit. It can't be. It's a byproduct of our circumstances. It's one of those things that can't be found by direct pursuit. I can't go out and get happiness, but I can get joy when I find Jesus. Happiness comes and goes. Do you notice how happiness can slip through your fingers? You know, the doctor says the tests are okay. You're fine. Next day you get a call from the office. We mixed up the test results. You're not fine. Were you happy the night before? Yeah, you were happy. But today you're not. Happiness cannot be found by direct pursuit. It's a byproduct of our circumstances. And yet everyone wants to be happy. Well, God, doesn't God want me to be happy? No, he wants you to have joy everlasting. You get a check in the mail for $1 million. Oh, this is great. You stay up all night making your plans. You go to the bank the next day and it bounces. The night before, you were so happy. No problems. Everything disappeared. You see the difference between joy and happiness? As a Christian, God says, I'm going to give you something to rejoice in every day. The Christian has joy in Jesus, and all we need is him. You notice it tells us in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, one of the fruits is joy. We need to let the Spirit out. Our years here are few. It is a difficult life here at times, but in heaven, it's great all the time. You know, we have to see ourselves in heaven. It's great. One day we'll be together in heaven and we'll say, remember we were talking about that? Isn't it great here? John 15:11. Jesus said, John 15:11, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. He says, I'm telling you all these things so that my joy might remain in you, and you'll find fullness of joy in me in what I say. See, Jesus has set us free. We have a new home. We have been born again. The joy remains. What we have in Christ remains. Now, let's look at verse 6 in our text today. First of all, we see, in this you greatly rejoice. In the fact of what we have in Christ, we can rejoice. See, that's not going to change tomorrow with any kind of news. It's not going to change what we have. If we put ourselves in our new life and keep our mind on that and the things above, it's never going to change. Isn't that good? I don't know about you, but I'm one of those guys that doesn't like change. If it's good. If it's bad, I want out right away. But if it's good, boy, I don't like that. Why do they change that? Why do they change this place? Why don't they do that anymore? People are changing things all the time. You know, you go and you find out, oh, this store closed down. Why do they do that? You know, never going to change what we have in the Lord. And so we greatly rejoice in the things we have in Christ. First of all, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. So, first of all, we see, if need be, for just a little while, you suffer grief because of various trials. You can still rejoice. we greatly rejoice, even though now, for a little while, this means all of us will go through it, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. If need be, for a little while, you're going to suffer grief and various trials here. Don't get down. Rejoice in the Lord. Isn't it a paradox? We see joy and trials together. They can exist together. Rejoicing and trials can exist together. You don't have to be down because of your circumstances. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. It means we're rejoicing in the things around us rather than rejoicing in the Lord if we get down, because sadness and gladness can come together in Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? It is possible. And this is what the world needs to know. That's why there's so much depression and suicide and all. Sadness and gladness can come together. But it has to be in Jesus. So in this you greatly rejoice, even though for just a little while. He calls our time here on earth a little while. And it is. If need be, you have been grieved by various trials. So the trials, the word is perasmos, a putting to proof by experiment, a testing. These trials are a testing, a putting to proof. What is it going to put to proof? We're going to see our faith. Trials, this word means trials with a beneficial purpose. Wow. Then that makes it seem a little more bearable. Testing with a beneficial purpose. You know, Sunday, remember we went over College of the Desert, how we get educated by God alone? That's what he's talking about here. If need be, you need to be instructed. I need to be taught. Who's the best teacher we could have? God. Be taught by God. Now, this is speaking in verse 6, we can see very clearly, is speaking of trials for the Christian, because it's a testing of faith. And it's, we can rejoice in it for a little while, and only the Christian can do that. So we will go through various trials for a beneficial purpose due to our faith in Jesus Christ. In this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Why? That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Peter was writing to Christians suffering persecution due to their faith. He points them, as we saw, first of all, to the living hope they have, a great inheritance. He says, wait, you have something great. Don't worry about it. He acknowledges their trials that they're going through. You know, when a person is going through trials, a testing, it's not going to work if you just walk up to them and say, oh, it's going to be okay. Well, that means that your circumstances are going to change, it's going to pass, you're going to be okay. Well, it might not be true. So it's not a good thing to say. He acknowledges these their trials, but teaches on rejoicing in the things they have, and gives them some reason for the trial, why we go through these things. I don't know about you, but I know that we go through trials. All of us go through trials, testings. Boy, and they come in many forms. They come at you in different ways. But there's a reason for rejoicing, because he said in verse 1, verse 6, verse part, in this you greatly rejoice. Know this, Christian, you and I have a living hope. We have Jesus. We have a great inheritance. There's something great awaiting us. We have cause for rejoicing even in and through the trial. Because what we do have along with the trials are indestructible benefits and hope. See, the problem today we have is the world has such a hold on us, controls our life. We need to be spending more time in the Lord and focusing on the things that are great that we have. We have no problem dwelling on the bad. We've got to break away from that and know we're going to go through trials and learn in them and rejoice in what we have. We live in a fallen world. Who's the prince of this world? The devil. Jesus said that. He rules this world. You follow the world, you're falling right into Satan's hand. We can still rejoice. That must frustrate Satan. And we can rejoice in our trials. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Not in circumstances, but the Lord. Rejoice, our reward is in heaven. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, verse 11. Jesus is speaking here. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice. Look what he says. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Oh, great. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. For why? For great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. He says, you've got rewards coming in heaven for being faithful to me, for bearing fruit for me. Be exceedingly glad. When they revile and persecute you, most people revile back. That's not what Jesus said to do. He said, blessed are the peacemakers, in verse 9, for they shall be called sons of God. We're to be peacemakers, not revile back. He says, rejoice. Yeah, but it was them. They started it, or they said evil things against me. Well, what does it say in verse 11? When they say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Be the light. You see, we will suffer persecution and trials due to our faith, even from close friends or family. But that's okay. We can still rejoice. We don't ever want to let the world or others run our life in the Lord. We don't want to let Satan run our life. But we can so easily let him in, can't we? And get caught up with everything in this world. So back to our text, he says, though for a little while. Now, how long does that mean? In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Though now for a little while. He's saying the trials will not be long compared to eternity. Our hope isn't that, oh, he's saying the trials are just going to last a short time. They could, but they could be for the rest of your life. What did Paul say when he had a thorn in the flesh? That's okay. I've learned to accept it, and I've learned one thing. Well, the weaker I am, the stronger I am. Some things, see, we live a daily life with the Lord. We're only living one day at a time. And each morning we wake up, the Lord might be saying, today. It's there again today. Our hope isn't in the fact that this trial is going to end. Our hope is in the fact that we have Jesus, and his will be done in our life, and we can rejoice today without waiting for the circumstances to change. Isn't that a great way to live? If we just did that every day, wow. I've got so much compared to what I'm going through for a little while. A little while, I would say in eternity, 100 years is a little while. So we can't say, well, hopefully this is going to end. The time here is short. Sometimes the trials are short, but sometimes they last. The trials, he said, even though it might be for a little while, and you notice what else he says in verse 6? If need be, You have been grieved by various trials, if need be. There is a need for the Christian to be tested. You're not going to graduate unless you've been tested. They're not going to say, well, you're in your seat for 4 years every day. Here's your diploma. Go and be a doctor now. No, that's not going to happen. You're going to be tested. You see, what will be tested? Our faith. If need be, there's a reason for the trial. There are times God knows we need to go through trials for specific things, and he knows why. That's why we must trust God. God is our teacher, and we are his student. God is in the trial. Look at the three friends in the fiery furnace in the book of Daniel. They said, our God is able to deliver us, even if you throw us in. They glorified God, and they brought God glory, even to the king, and he was impressed. It was used by God. Jesus praying in the garden, nevertheless, your will be done. He went through it. We'll see in verse 7, our faith is tested. And again, in another thing in verse 6, if need be, you have been grieved. You have been grieved or distressed by various trials. Wow. And the old King James, it says heaviness. You are in heaviness because of the trial. It's going to happen in life. In other words, we can be going through grief, through trials, and rejoice in the Lord. That's victory, isn't it? We can do that. That's real victory. When they come together, and we can say, praise the Lord. We read Sunday how Job did it. Remember, the trial is for a little while. You know, soon and very soon, we're going to be with the Lord. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The key is to keep our focus on what we have in Christ and measure time properly. Eternity, my lifetime. It's a little while, isn't it? He says, so you have to go through it for a little while. You've got eternity with me. Look at this, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. It's compared to a moment. It's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, things in the world around us, but at the things which are not seen, the things we have in the Lord. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We can look at the things in this world and get discouraged because we don't have them. Or because we do have it and we don't want it. You see, it's a light affliction. We go through all kinds of trials, testings. But it's for a moment and it works out something great. Don't look at the things which are seen, but look at the things which are not seen. Did you ever say, if only this would work out, I'd be fine? Well, we do say that, but that's the wrong attitude. That's what the Lord is saying. You can be fine even if it doesn't change. Isn't that great news? And you know what? It's our choice. Our comfort, our peace, our hope is not in the fact that things will change or get better here. They may not. But nothing can take away or change what we do have in Jesus. Look at our forefathers, the apostles, the writers of the New Testament, the beginning of our faith, the foundation. What if they faded away? What if they didn't stand for the Lord? What if they bailed out of persecution? The church wouldn't have gone any further. But they stood for a little while in the affliction that they had. Now, when he tells us this here, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. We can't ignore that we have grief. And it's not good to ignore grief. Because, you know, Jesus went through it. And we see here that you've been grieved by these testings, and they're from God. And yet, we've been grieved by them. We need to know there will be grief. Just like Jesus said, in this world you also have tribulation. We need to know that there will be grief. You know, a lot of Christians don't like to talk about grief only when they're going through it. And then, I have to talk about it. But grief is going to be a thing in a Christian's life. You know, we can't act super spiritual and say, well, there's no problem, I'm doing great, or I'm fine. But know this, God will keep you and strengthen you, and don't think anything unusual is happening to you just because you have grief. We go through grief. 1 Peter 4, turn ahead to chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning this fiery trial he's talking about, which is to try you. It will, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad. Isn't that incredible? With exceeding joy. Grief and joy. Sadness and gladness together. Why? Because no matter what you're going through, your focus can get on the Lord and say, I'm identifying with Christ. I have everything in Christ. And we have to just acknowledge that grief exists, but God gives us victory. In verse 6, it says, grieved by various trials. The word means diversified, manifold, various in character. Many color means many colors. In other words, trials are all kinds. They're going to come in all kinds. You may not go through what the other person's going through, but you're going to have your own. Isn't that exciting? I got my own trial tonight. You know, and I'm sure if we went through this room, we'd all have different trials. It means various in character. It doesn't mean the number of trials. It means the variance of those trials. And as we go through, there are different types. Don't feel different or forsaken or strange. You're just going through a different trial. But verse 7. Why? That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, you may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We're going to give him glory through this all. And you know what? He's going to look down at us and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We're going to bring glory to God. It's a comfort to know the purpose of the trial, isn't it? It's good to know why. And he tells us why. You know, we always ask why about things. Why? That the genuineness of your faith, which is more precious than gold, that perishes, it may be found, your faith may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You had a true faith. You blessed the Lord. In the trial, in other words, the genuineness of our faith is tested. And we all know many people who didn't pass the test and walked away from the Lord. Probably never really knew him. Now, it says, as gold is tested and purified in the fire, our faith is tested in the fiery trials. Is our faith real? What kind of faith do I have? It'll be tested. Things will come up in life to test your faith. You know what it says in Job 23, verse 10? Job 23, 10, when he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. Trials come and go. various kinds. Some come to stay. We can still rejoice in the Lord. What's important? What is our attitude and reaction to the trial? Will God teach us? Will he achieve his work in us? Will we allow him to? And will we bring glory to God? Is our faith genuine? It's been said, a faith that can't be tested is not faith at all, if you don't pass the test. Is our faith genuine? Now, it must be tested for us to know. So we know. And it tells us this faith, in God's eyes, is much more precious than gold that perishes, which is material, and it's tested. Gold is tested by what? Fire. We go through fiery trials. What does the testing, putting in the into the fire do? It removes the bad stuff. Now, gold is valuable, isn't it? So it's valuable. Now, a goldsmith wouldn't put the gold in the furnace to destroy the gold, would he? Why does he put the gold in fire? To destroy it? Why does he put it in there? To remove the impurities. Why does God put us in the fiery trials? To destroy us? No. But to remove the impurities. God has no intention of destroying us in the fire. And yet people challenge God when they go through the testing. He does it to grow us, mature us, refine us, purify us, because we're precious. And he does it to achieve his purposes. You know, it's been said, the goldsmith used to keep the gold in the furnace until he saw his reflection. Who are we being conformed to in the image of Jesus? When we see his reflection in there, we went through the test. God loves us. We're his children. We're precious in the fire. We can't get angry at God. See, many people profess Christ, and many who profess him have a false faith. They don't pass the test. They get bitter at God. They challenge God. They're back and forth. It's revealed in the testing, just like a student is. Revealed in the testing. That's why this must happen. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. Verse 3. The parable of the sower. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. The birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth. They immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth, so it looked like it grew up right away. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. That's these people that don't pass the test. When the sun rose up, they withered away. When the fiery trials come, they wither away. That's why we're tested by fire. True faith is indestructible. It's indestructible. Verse 7, going through that so that this faith may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is all about bringing praise and honor and glory to the Lord. Honor and glory forever. And he, in turn, will award us when we get to be with him in heaven. Faith will be rewarded at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming soon for his church. But here we see we're to stay in whatever we're going through, stand fast, strong in the Lord, enjoy, have joy in trials, they're linked together. Know the joy we have is for a the trial is for a reason. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. We'll close with this. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together one day. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Isn't that great? You can't compare what we have in Christ to the trial we might be going through. It's where we place our mind and our heart. Thank you, Lord, for giving us this instruction today. I pray that these words are planted in us and we're able to apply them through our testings. God, you never leave or forsake us. We pray that we would never challenge you falsely and forsake you. Thank you so much, Lord, that you've given us precious promises. Thank you that you've given us a new home in heaven. The world doesn't see that. They live for here and now, this temporary place. We've got something better, Lord. We have a future. I pray that we would understand these words we read tonight. They're so profound. They're the keys to victory and getting through this life. It's where our heart is that matters. And we want it to be totally with you, Lord. Your will be done, not mine. And give us grace and mercy in our trials, Lord, your strength. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.